Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny for Monday, June the 17th. I'm your host, Lisa M. Saunders, coming to you live from Baltimore, Maryland, as I will be doing every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this broadcast is being sponsored by Masterminds LLC, inspiring and empowering people to achieve a greater destiny. Once again, we have another very special show for you this evening, and I am pleased to have co-hosting with me Ms. Teresa Hamilton, who is the CEO and founder of Making It Happen Incorporated, transforming your dreams into reality. Hello, Teresa.
Hello, Lisa. It's good to be here on another wonderful Monday evening. And I just am anxiously awaiting to get started with the show. We had a wonderful time the last session, and I just can't wait for more discussion around some of the same issues we've been having.
Well, you know what? That's why I'm so excited about the show this evening, because tonight's topic is one that we've talked about before, but I don't think we could ever talk about enough, which is ego. I titled the show Ego Speaks, which is recognizing the ego when it appears and how to deal with it when it does.
Yes.
So for those of you tuning in via the computer, please click on the follow button on the left-hand side of the title so that you can receive updates on upcoming broadcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Lyse101. That's Lyse101. And I must say thank you to those who have already started following us. I really appreciate you. You know, we're starting to pick up speed on our Twitter account, so I really appreciate you for that. And we are also available as a podcast, and it's free. So please go to your iTunes store, click on podcast, and type in A Date with Destiny. And that way you will also receive future episodes, as well as being able to just click in whenever you want to and just take us with you wherever you go. You can also send me a message through this site if you would like to become a sponsor. When I say this site, I'm talking about the Blog Talk site. And if you want to get more exposure for your literary or business, and also if you have been working on something, which I know a lot of you have projects that you've been working on and trying to get up off the ground, or even in your personal life, and you haven't seen those results that you have been wishing for, and you've been expecting a breakthrough, and you're just frustrated because it just doesn't seem to be happening as you are expecting it to, please send me a message, and I will consult with you to see if a little extra coaching will help to get you there. You can send a message, like I said, through this site, the Blog Talk site, or through my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/A Date with Destiny 101, or you can leave a message via my website, which is info@yourdestinyawaits.net. info@yourdestinyawaits.net. And please, just visit the website and take a look around. It will really inspire you. And if you do, please, like, sign the guest book just to let me know that you were there. So now that we've gotten all of that out of the way, Teresa Hamilton, how are you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm doing well, and I just can't wait for the show because I'm just anxious. I don't know. I'm bursting out with information and experiences
I know, right?
And all of that, and I just feel like I'm just ready to get started, and I thank God for that, because as much as we deal with on a daily basis, it feels good to have a burst of excitement and energy bubbling up.
Yeah. And it seems like from week to week, we just things just continue to pop up, which allow us to pour out, you know, into the show. And
yeah.
I mean, things just are constantly coming to us, you know. And then when it comes to us, we do our best to share it with you. But before
right.
we get started, I just want to say this, okay? Did we or did we not have a very empowering gathering, okay, for our last MIH meeting for the summer? Oh, my
yeah.
God. I am still floating
yeah.
on a cloud from that session, from that meeting. Woo, girl,
yeah.
that was something
yeah.
else.
It was so powerful. And Lisa,
yeah.
you did such an awesome job with dealing with, you know, how do we uncover and learn to love ourselves, which is our greatest challenge. And as you said, we're here. We're really sent here to learn how to love ourselves and to love
yes.
others. And it was just so emotionally inspiring, inspirational, uplifting, empowering, everything you can think of. All those good adjectives is what I would use to describe that time and session.
Yeah. Well, before we thank you for that, but before we go on, please tell us a little bit about, I know we meet again in September. We're, you know, actually on break for the summer, but tell us
yeah.
the exciting news that you have about making it happen and where you feel as though you're being led to take the group. And what I'm talking about is you changed, not really changed the name of the company,
yeah.
but you kind of
yeah.
added a little something to it.
Yes. Well, anyway, you know, like I always tell everyone is that you should always have a connection with God. And in that connection, God gave me a note that he wanted to change the name from Making It Happen, Incorporated, to Making It Happen God's Way. So starting September, we will officially do a total name change. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, that's what we're like in ourselves, and we're always trying to make things happen our way. But like we always talk about, we believe in there being a God and someone who can see around those curves, who can see the future, who knows what we need. And so we need to put our lives, even though we're still making it happen, we need to ensure that we're making it happen God's way. So I've changed the name. And ever since I've done that, Lisa, I just feel like just when we go in those groups, the powerful, just powerful. And then the synergy
yeah.
is somewhere like, even though, you know, you feel like you're having an out-of-body spiritual experience where your
yeah.
soul, which is in your spirit, which rarely gets
yeah.
fed in today's world, is truly getting fed with the things that
yeah.
it needs so that we can go out there, and a number of us are entrepreneurs, so that we can go out there and be successful entrepreneurs or successful employees
yeah.
or successful mothers or successful fathers. So that's
yeah.
really what the name change has done. And I am predicting in God's time with this name change that Making It Happen will have affiliates not only in Maryland, but in Atlanta, Georgia, and Arkansas, and
mm-hmm.
Hawaii, all over the world. Even Africa
yeah.
and Italy. So that's our goal
yeah.
for the organization, and I see it and I know it to be so. And so we're just moving in sync knowing with that knowing. Once God, just
yeah.
like Abraham, God gave him a vision. MIH, Making It Happen God's Way, has received that vision as well. And we want to just
yeah.
walk out in faith. And faith is calling those things that we can't see as though they already are. And so that's how
yeah.
we're starting to operate the group.
Yes, and, you know, I just want to add to that the members that we have now, I mean, the group is already growing since
yeah.
we've changed locations, and the group is growing, but not only is it growing in numbers, but the people who have joined are growing in their business, They're growing
yes.
spiritually, you know,
yes.
And we allow them room to do that. We coach them in whatever area
yes.
in their business that they need to be coached in. We give them room.
Yes.
We give them the floor, like if you want to be a public speaker, to stand
yes.
up in front of the group and give presentations.
Yes.
And then, you know, we talk about yes. that presentation and so on and so forth. So, I mean, there's so much that we have to offer because we truly
yes.
believe in empowering
yes.
each other to go forth
yes.
and go, boldly go forth in all
right.
that God has for us. And the thing for me is that a lot of times we get blocked and stopped because we don't even realize all that God has for us. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So
yeah.
when they come into the group, they learn these things. All of the things we
yes.
talk about on this show, you get
yes.
that when you join MIH. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Especially for those who are in the Baltimore, Maryland area, and we're planning
mm-hmm.
between September and October opening up a Washington, D.C. area chapters
yes.
that,
mm-hmm.
you know, people won't have to come as far as Baltimore, but essentially what we want to do is that we really believe that when we work on ourselves, and again, Lisa, you did such a phenomenal job of talking about self-love and how to love ourselves and how to be grateful
mm.
for what we do have in order for us to receive, which is
mm-hmm.
the first point, and your last point was receiving all that God has for us, and that when we're
mm-hmm.
operating, truly operating in that manner,
yeah.
God really will take good care of us. And so that's the key, is just ensuring that we're operating in accordance to his word, and that's what we want to do to move forward.
Yes, and another thing, too, we're looking for people to join who want to be a part of these seminars, who
yes.
want to join and bring in their gifts and their skills and their talents
yes.
so that we can
yes.
grow this thing and grow this thing out so that, you know, MIH can be a part of yours. It can be a part of you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Yes. So if you're interested in contacting us and you want to know more about what we do, please visit that website, which is mihgroup.org, mihgroup.org. And Teresa,
yes.
give them the phone number to call in case
yes,
somebody wants to call and talk to you more.
Yes, they can
mm-hmm.
really call me personally, and that number is 301-379-2709. 301-379-2709. And I would encourage people to come. And one thing I love about the group is that we have a good time and we're not judging anyone. Whether,
right.
you know, we just want you to come and learn. So that's the
yeah.
biggest piece with us, is that we want to see you grow. And we have a lot of fun. It's not a stuffy, real stiff group
yeah.
and, oh, you've got to
no.
walk the plank, you know, and you can't
oh, no.
the left or the right. It's not stuffy at all. It's a fun group.
No.
We laugh a lot. We joke a lot.
Oh,
and
honey, did we laugh, girl?
Yes.
Let me tell you
so
real
much.
Quick. I laughed so much Saturday, girl, my stomach hurt, okay?
Yes,
I mean, you
yes.
guys, we a little cray-cray. I just want to put that
yes,
out there. So
yes,
if you
yes.
if you want to have a good time
yes,
while networking
yes.
and growing, this is the
yes.
place to be. And we just
yes.
have a ball.
Yes, and almost
yeah.
everyone who comes will say, I've never been to a group like this. And one
yeah.
who was new to the group said, I've never been anywhere where everyone seems to be on one accord, and we really are, and you can be that
yeah.
way when you learn to truly love yourself and to love your brother unconditionally
yes.
without condition.
Yes, there you go. So please,
yes.
once again, Teresa, give them that number.
That telephone number, my personal line, is 301-379-2709. Again, 301-379-2709.
And visit our website at mihgroup.org. That's M
yes.
as in making, I as in it, H as in happen, org, mihorg, no, mihgroup.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So tonight we are going to continue to explore one of the topics that we've done before, which is our ego, and how to put our ego in check, okay?
Yes.
So if you're listening in and feel compelled to call with a question or comment, that number is 347-237-4518. That's 347-237-4518. Our phone lines are open, and we would love to hear from you. So whatever the ego seeks, and gets attached to are substitutes for the being that it cannot feel. Okay? You can value and care for things, but whenever you get attached to them, you will know it's ego. So right now we're saying that ego arises when we become attached to things. And you are never really attached to a thing but to a thought that has like I, me, or mine in it. And whenever you completely accept a loss, you go beyond ego and who you are. The I am, which is consciousness itself, emerges. Most egos have conflicting wants. They want different things at different times or may not even know what they want except that they don't want what is. And that is the present moment. And we talked about that the last two shows, the power of now. The ego never wants to be in the present moment, okay? Unease, restlessness, boredom, anxiety, dissatisfaction are the result of unfulfilled wanting. Wanting is structural. So no amount of content can provide lasting fulfillment as long as that mental structure remains in place. As long as we don't recognize it, which is when I say it, we're calling it ego, as long as we don't recognize it and call it out, it will continue to be in charge of our thoughts and therefore our actions. So in essence, what that is saying is, and we're going to just really dig into this, because ego is the thing that is the front face of our everyday living, pretty much. Most people act out of ego and respond with ego. And unless we recognize that, which is something that I've started doing myself, and call it out for what it is, then it will continue to rule you.
Yes.
You know,
and
that, go ahead.
Yeah. Go on. And one of the funny, well, you continue, but one of the things about ego is funny that when you do call it out, it has no place to hide.
No.
So it's
exactly.
Like once you recognize it and bring it to the forefront, it no longer has a place to hide. And then
right.
It's out there so you can control it better. And
right.
I was listening. I've been listening to a number of PBS specials with, I'm sorry, I did not get the professor's name, but he's at Harvard, and he did a number of studies with the mind. And our mind just can sometimes, and I can give you an example of how it can just overpower you. It's constantly telling you, this isn't right, that's not right, what you're going to do now because you had it all mapped out and it's not. And it's always looking, the ego is always looking to like you said, make yourself feel uneasy and justify.
Yeah.
Just scatter, talk, chatter is how it operates. And then
consistently.
You really have to learn, yes. And if you don't learn to quiet it, it will just become a big animal and grow and grow
Woo!
And grow to the point you find yourself, you're like, wow, and, you know, what is going on with me? And you will, sometimes you feel yourself just being plain sad. You're like, I'm sad.
Yeah.
And then you have to, you know you're sad, but you don't know why. And then
exactly.
Says, hey, this is what I'm sad. Oh, yeah, that's right. What is that? You know, if you're sad, you should be able to know right away. But you can't because the ego is just, said it's very preoccupied with self, and it never has to deal with the present, because at the present state, it's very rarely that we're going through something that's so major, but it always likes to deal in that, what are you going to do, future state, or look at what happened to you before, past state.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thought forms of me and mine, of more than, of I want or I need or I must have, and of not enough, you know, all of that pertains not to be, have us not to be content where we are in the now, you know, and that is the basic structure of the ego, the me, mine, me, it's about me, I want, I need, I must have, you know, and all of that, and what that content is interchangeable as long as you don't, Well, here we go. As long as you don't recognize that in yourself, like you said, you have to recognize it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring it up to your consciousness to call it out for what it is, because what did I start doing as of last week? Remember when we were talking and I said, okay, Teresa, now I just started
Here's
off the conversation.
Talking.
Now, this is ego.
Mm-hmm.
This is ego speaking, and I know it's ego speaking, but I'm going to say this, recognizing that it's ego. And I went on ahead and I said what I needed to say, but recognizing the ego, it took the power out of it. It took the power away from the ego in that whole situation, and I was able to then, you know, look past it and deal with the realness of the I am, my being, and not giving over to the ego. So now what I've learned how to do, when I know that it's ego speaking, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is my ego right here, okay? I know this is ego. I see you, ego. It's like the movie, which you probably didn't watch, but it's one of my favorite ones.
Groundhog Day? No.
What is it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It'll come to me. But, you know, when she says, I see you, you know, and we have to speak to that thing like you speak to your ego because it's real, you know, and it's like, I see you. Okay, now you need to go sit down somewhere, okay, and take a back seat because I'm not going to deal with you right now in this situation. You know,
I wanted to add, because it's so funny, Lisa, because when you do that, I think you, I think we were talking about, and I was like, oh, Lisa, you're doing ego speak. And ego speak is when you say, okay, ego, I'm going to call you out. This is how ego is thinking, saying, feeling, which you do so eloquently. But you're right, that once you then say it out loud, then it has no more power. It has no more steam. It just says,
right.
You know, it's almost like, and one of the things that the Harvard professor said that I thought is related is that you are not your mind.
Right.
In other
words,
that spirit that lives within you is your mind, that soul, that spirit. But you are not your mind, meaning you can control your mind and what it thinks and how to train it to think in a proper way so that you are not feeling depressed and discouraged, because when it does appear, it's always appearing, like you said, dealing with pain. You know, I feel I feel sad. I feel depressed. I feel angry. I feel want. I'm in want. I want this. I want that. It's just like a hungry hippo or animal that just can never get enough. And unless you control it in your head first, you will. It will cause you not to be, to paralyze you. It will cause you not to be able to move over time when you're continually allowing it to just rear its ugly head without being in check or keeping it in check.
Yeah. And, you know, that's so true because, you know, I've learned that a more powerful drive underneath the ego's need of having, of like a quote-unquote having, is the ego's need for more. You know, which we could also call a wanting. And no ego, and I've learned that no ego can last for a long time without the need for more. Our egos always want more. You know, so therefore, wanting, quote unquote, wanting, keeps the ego alive much more than having. You know what I mean? The ego wants to want more. Then it wants to want more than it wants to have. So it's like, it's like, okay, say, for example, you want something, right? And then you get that thing, and now you have it. Okay, so now you're enjoying that new car that you wanted so bad, and you've got it, and you're just loving it, and you're enjoying it. But guess what? That's temporary, because now the ego wants something else. And you're never satisfied. It never leaves you satisfied, because it's always wanting something. And you know what? That becomes, it's a psychological need for more. So in other words, it's like it's a psychological need for more, right? Which is to say it gives us more things to identify with. So I guess we could say that with that being said, and it's a psychological need, and it gives us more things to identify with, so ego identifies with things.
Mm-hmm.
Ego identifies with things, right,
with
the physical.
Because
and
it's never
always
wanting more. There's never wanting
right.
more peace, more love, more hope, more joy. Really,
yeah.
Desiring all of that. It's always desiring more money, more children that keep their mouth shut, more, you know,
right.
it wants those kinds of things. It never wants, in other words, the fruit of the Spirit. It rarely wants that.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I guess in some cases the psychological need for more or the feeling of not enough that is just so characteristic of the ego becomes transferred to the physical level, like you just said, and then it turns into an insatiable hunger. So, for example, like let's say somebody's suffering from bulimia, for example, okay, will often make themselves sick. They'll make themselves vomit so that they can continue to eat. So their mind is hungry, right, but not their body.
Right.
So this eating disorder would become healed if the sufferers, instead of being identified with their mind, could get in touch with their body rather than the pseudo needs of the egoic mind. Did that make sense?
Right. I understand.
So, in other words, it's their mind. Our minds are hungry, but our bodies aren't. So it's all in the mind.
Yes. And the emotional state, you know, the emotional state that we create for ourselves, wanting more, needing more, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, we can chill that noise for a second. Right? We can chill that noise for a second. But what happens is, like I said, once one need is satisfied, then another one arises. So we're constantly in that one. Huh?
We're greedy for this. And
we
are. Just placate self at all times. And you know, it's all about us. It's all about, you know, and I can really tell how well someone is living a more satisfied, full life by how much they talk about themselves.
Yeah.
So if you get someone and they're constantly talking about themselves, then that should tell you that they haven't really overcome some of those, because you should want to hear about your brother, and that person should be concerned about this person or that person. But instead they're talking about how their emotional state is not as good as it should be. And that's for all of us. All of us have that to a certain degree. And the key is to bring it, like I love what you do with the ego speak. It's just a city like, look, you know, I'm calling you out. This is how I'm feeling. This is what the ego is saying. However, my spirit man can overcome that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
and it has helped me tremendously. Yeah, we're calling it ego speak.
Ego speak, yeah.
But it has. It helps me tremendously because, again, bringing awareness to it, helps it to be like, okay, you see me, all right, now I'm going to go back for a minute because you're not supposed to see me, okay? Because when you see me, you have control over that thing, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't see me and I can sneak up on you and do a creep here and there, you know, and again, then it's happy. You're satisfying that ego part of yourself. And I'm telling you, satisfying the ego is not healthy. It's just not healthy. It ends up, it puts us in a bad space, even especially in relationships. In a relationship with, you know, your partner or relationship with your family member or just relationships, period. You know, when we cater to that ego thing, that's just, oof. That's not cool because,
and it can be ugly. And a lot of time, the reason why I love the ego speak is because we, first of all, when we are analyzed, you know, when we are feeling, I'm hurt, I'm in pain, this isn't working out, we need to really look at ourselves, not the other person. But we also have a tendency in ego speak to criticize or demean the other person. But the other person has no control over who you are and what you're feeling. I was talking to one of my good girlfriends today, was it today or yesterday, and she and I were going back and forth, and she was saying, you know, I was feeling this way, and she's like, and then I remembered, I don't have to feel this negative feeling And I was like, you know, you're absolutely right. I said, I had a moment about 2 weeks ago where I was like, just, you know, just feeling sad, but I really couldn't pinpoint the sadness. And and I was feeling just blah, and I wasn't feeling in a great mood. And I heard the Spirit of God say, you know, you're choosing how you feel. You can feel happy if you want to.
Right.
You know what? That's true. I could if I chose to. And then I had to say to myself, do I want to continue to just feel sad for really nothing, or do I want to be happy? And then I really got myself in gear and just said, you know what? Your state is all up to you. Your, you know, how you're feeling is all determined by your spirit and yourself and how you view your perspective on everything.
That's right. And I had one of those moments not too long ago myself, you know, at the washing dishes. Had my hands in soap, water, girl, just washing dishes. And ego, you know, not really paying attention, and it did one of them creep things, you know. And it just creeped up on me. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I do talk to myself, okay? Yes, I do. I talk to myself, you know. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up. And I had one of those ego aha moments. I was like, oh, no, you don't. I see you. You know, you need to go somewhere and sit down right now because, no. And what you said is so significant, too, because it at that moment, like you said, you realize that you have a choice. It's like, you know, I can continue on with this crazy conversation in my head with myself. I can move past it and say, no, you won't. We're not going to go there right now. You need to go sit down. And you know what I did? I bust out laughing. I mean, I'm home by myself. I guess a cat thought I was absolutely crazy and lost my mind. I just started laughing because I'm like, really? You know, and if we just, each of us just take that time to recognize it when it comes up, you know, you can save yourself a whole lot of pain and anxiety and anguish. And another thing I'm noticing, too, is that, you know, the power of now and how important that is in regards to ego, because the ego doesn't want you to be in the power of now. It doesn't want you to recognize the power of that you have at this very moment. You know, it wants to keep you living in the past. It wants to remind you of every negative thing or every hurt and pain, or it wants to propel you too far into the future and put in front of you the things that you don't have that you want, or you're not where you want to be, and it just keeps going on.
How many times have I lived that? How many times have we lived that?
And then what that does is it makes us feel weak. You know, it depletes us of, you know, our faith, and, you know, it takes us out of our faith, actually, because in several shows I've said this, you know, faith and doubt cannot hold the same place at the same time. It just can't. You're either in faith and you have it or you don't. So if you're not having faith, then that means ego is in place of that. You know,
and
ego is like stopping you.
And the other thing about faith, I know with me, is that you have to stand on, like I said, the promises of God. He gives us vision, and we have to stand on it with a certainty and not an uncertainty. We need to know that we know that we know. You know what I mean? And what happens is we'll for a little bit, and then we get nervous when we see signs around us that are not bringing forth what we believe is the truth. And so then we start to get back into a pity party, say, Lord, how long, especially with financing. Lord, how much long? I'm waiting. I've been here for I don't know how long. And one day, you know, let's just say we get a little burst of income, then we feel real great. But as soon as that income is gone, we're back to how long, when is it? And really, we need to, Paul's statement, he says, whatever state you find yourself in, there and be content, and you need to learn how to be a base and how to be, you know, high and low. We just need to learn to be satisfied, your spirit man, in whatever state you find yourself in. And then I often think of, there are people out there, and I think it was one of our MIH members, Cindy, talking about how long it takes to come into your own, and she mentioned Nelson Mandela. And we forget, remember, we had a passion for
justice.
And he went to jail for that. Just like I know you love the story. Went to jail for that. And then eventually he got out. Who would have thought, okay, he could have gotten out, but who would have thought he got out and then became president? Is that not crazy to think about? That kind of transformation or metamorphosis can occur in our lives. But we have to have faith.
Great
and we have
example.
To believe in, yes, regardless
yes.
of anything, we've got to stand still and firm.
Yes.
And one of the, I'm learning, Lisa, and I heard the Harvard professor that I told you who was working with Deepak Chopra on the PBS show, I heard him say, which was so profound, and I felt so special because God will give you wisdom and knowledge when you ask for it. But one of the things made overreaching was that if you live a purposeful life, that means you know the purpose that you were, why you're here on this earth, then knowing that purpose will propel you toward a better state of mind where you're more at ease, you're more, you know, you feel good about yourself, and therefore you're going to have a healthy mind and healthy brain and all of that as a result. And so that's what we really have to be on a quest for, is that when we have purpose, and then Mandela did not only just help his country, but the world, we look, you know, we look at the right issues a lot different now because of his strong stance. And those are the kinds of things that we truly need to do in order. We need to, in other words, get outside of ourselves. If, you know, we have to love ourselves, but once we do, we need to get outside of ourselves and start looking at others. And how can we help them in order to, you know, given being able to give in order to receive?
Yes, and only presence can undo the past in you, and that which will transform your state of consciousness. Only the presence can do that. But you know what? That is so powerful, what you just said, girl. That just gave me goosebumps because when you likened, when you talked about Nelson Mandela and Joseph, I mean, they're like one of the same people, Joseph of the Bible.
Yeah.
And you know, like you said, that's one of my all-time favorites. I mean, I can really resonate with that. But both of them were in prison, both.
Yes.
And one came out to be the ruler of his country, and then Joseph came out to be the ruler of all Egypt as well. You know, and everybody had to come to him, you know, when when Pharaoh gave him not just the ring off his hand, okay, but draped him, draped the coat, you know, of around his shoulders, which was a high honor, and he was right below. He was like the highest, you know, right below Pharaoh, but people had to come to him.
Yeah,
for food and for shelter and for all of their needs. So and here's a man of that was of God, and again, all he did was do what he knew how to do. There was nothing else that he had to do but that was to be him.
And
that was what Mandela did all those years in prison. He didn't sit in there, and probably, of course, he may have had some oh, woe is me days, but it couldn't have been but so many, because look at how he was transformed.
Yeah,
and was the ruler of the of that nation. Powerful.
Powerful.
And now,
powerful.
Can you imagine, now check this out, can you imagine if someone like Nelson Mandela allowed his ego to rule?
Oh, wow.
That's a perfect example.
Yes, yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it would have just been... You know, first of all, I don't believe that he may have been president, but it wouldn't have been for long. You know, because he could have come out of prison, I mean, with hatred, you know, and they kept me locked up all these years. I mean, he just couldn't. And, and if anybody had the right to do that, he did.
He certainly did.
But what did he do? But what did he do? He came out and he acted out of love. He acted with love. He opened up his heart. You know, and even towards his enemy. So, and talk about laying ego down, laying ego to the side. How many of us could actually do that?
Yeah, and then you remember his situation with his wife, Winnie, at the time. I mean, think about the pain, think about the betrayal, and think about the amount of forgiveness he had to have to reach the pinnacle of success, even though he may have been justified. you still have to lower and be content and be respectful and have forgiveness.
Yeah, we have to let go of self. That's what it's all about, and that's what Buddhism teaches you. And that's why I resonate with Buddhism. I love the teachings of Buddha, and it's all about letting go of self, you know.
Yeah.
And they even talk about the mind, no mind, you know, and which no mind means really getting out of ego. And it's just powerful. And I'm telling you, if you can do that for yourself, there's no better thing you can do for yourself than to start to learn about meditation, learning how to, which will help you to get beyond self.
Right.
Because we get in our own way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the chatter of the mind that comes up all the time. And I know, you know, when we can learn, and I always, for me, looking at Christ's walk and how he just never, first of all, you know, we don't talk about how often he went to by himself to pray. How many times he went away to pray, or he left the moment when he went to pray and to have that alone time in that community. That's the thing, is that you have to go alone. You have to get quiet with yourself. In order to get quiet with yourself, you do have to love yourself. And you know, it takes time, but like you said, I know that through meditation and prayer, that God can really make changes in your life, but you have to quiet the mind. You really do.
The mind, you do. Yeah. And I can tell you, when I started on my journey, on this particular journey that I'm on, my enlightenment has just been incredible. And I had to, you have to step away. I really had to step away from everything that was familiar to me. I just left it, like, you have to walk away from certain things. You know, you might have to pull back from an organization, or you might have to pull back from a particular religion, or you might have to pull back so that you can be still and can be silent. You know, I shared with you the other day that I had recorded one of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday episodes. I started, like, really watching some of the things that she, you know, has on, and I really appreciate the fact that, you know, she is also bringing light to souls. And she had on last week a Buddhist monk. He's a very famous Buddhist monk, and he was Dr. Martin Luther King had nominated him back in, like, 63, 64 for the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, he shared his story, and Teresa, I mean, this man is just awesome. He has conquered the mind. But in order for him to do that, and now I understand really what it means to be a monk, you know, they shut themselves off from the world.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally shut them. There's no news, no TV, no nothing. They just work on giving, you know, learning how to let go of self, laying self down, laying that ego down, and they really get into being still and conquering the mind. And this man if anybody can go back and see that show, then I would suggest that you do that. It's Super Soul, one of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday shows, and it's where she had on a Buddhist monk, and it was just absolutely empowering. I just can't tell you enough. So it looks like that we have, I thought we had a caller on, but we don't. But I wanted to give out that number again in case you want to call in and you have a comment or a question to make. That number is 347-237-4518-237, 347-237-4518. So, but, you know, it's all just, you know, work. It's work that we must do on ourselves, and nobody is exempt from it, because we are partly, you know, human beings. You know, however, one of my favorite sayings, we are spiritual beings living a human experience. not human beings living a spiritual experience. So once you understand, fully understand who you truly are, where you truly came from, which is the I Am, and that you are also the I Am because it dwells in you, then you can start on that journey of learning how to work on self and laying and working on your mind and laying your ego to the side. And it's funny, and guess this is something else that also happens when you start to recognize ego. You not only recognize it in yourself, but you recognize it in others.
It's like this
big thing that just happens. It's like whoosh, and all of a sudden you can see, and now you see when you're speaking to ego. You all hear it in yourself, but then you know when you're addressing it from someone else.
And the key is that when we're operating, and I know that's one of the ministries that we have, Lisa, is the ability to pull people's purpose and path out for them.
But
when you're allowed, when people are truly walking in purpose, and purpose is a spiritual phenomenon. It's not like, you know, you're planning your goals and all that, but it means what you were truly here, what God placed you here on this earth to do. When you start operating in that, that ego takes less of a position because that purpose that's within you, once you understand it and get it, then you want to give it or help give it aspects of it to the world. And that is the most unselfish thing you can do. And in being unselfish in that way, you're able to truly quiet the ego.
Well, check this out. Jesus said, if someone takes your shirt, and I now know what this means when he said, if someone takes your shirt, let them have your coat as well. It just means that sometimes letting go is an act far greater, and it's far greater power than defending or hanging on. You know what I mean? So it's like that we're going to do a show entitled One Day, The Lion and the Lamb. You know, but it's like, you know, he said it. He said, if someone takes your shirt, let him have your coat as well. Which, and it's like that old argument of, you know what, being right is overrated. It's overrated.
It really is.
You know what?
It really
so if you feel it, then you go, have that. You know, God bless you. Okay. Sure. No problem. You know, because my ego does not need to be filled up just simply so I can say that I'm right.
Yeah. And it really is overrated.
It really
once
is.
You learn that,
you know,
I would pride myself on being right, and I could argue and go up one side and down the next and around the corner and here and there. But in the end, and I think I read this from Dale Carnegie, who does a phenomenal job of how to win friends and influence people, and one of his main points in the book was just that being right is overrated. You do not need to be right all the time. Let it go. It's not worth it.
Right, and again, that goes back to what it means is that sometimes letting things go is an act of far greater power than defending or hanging on, you know. And I noticed in myself that when I feel the need that may arise in me where it's like, well, no, you need to listen to what I have to say and what I'm saying is blah, 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 you know, it's not about that. It really is not about that. And then you'll notice that once you recognize it in yourself and you let it go, what happens to the other person? It deflates them. It takes all of the air out of all of the fight, right? It just takes it out. Whoosh. You know, and it's gone. So we have to learn how to go ahead.
And then learning, because I know the other thing is you, as you're walking this path, you know the kinds of things that may have helped you be successful. Like, you are not dealing with the levels of anxiety and stress, at least myself, that I was dealing with, say, 10, 20 years ago. I have managed to improve. I'm not perfect, and I'm not there, but I know that I've seen the continuum in that journey just with myself. And so sometimes you can have that feeling of trying to help other people get there and try to explain to them. But, you know, you learn to rev it back that if they're not receiving or they don't want to receive, it's okay.
Right.
You know, because just like you are hard-headed and pig-headed, you know, you can only pray and hope that they get there. But if they're not there, you're not going to force it on them.
Right. Well, here's another one of my favorites. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And that is so true. And life will give you, you know, whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. It just does.
Yes.
And how and then how do we know? How do we know that this experience is what we need? Well, because this is the experience that you are having at this moment. And if you are having an experience that is like I call it like a trial or a tribulation, you're having it for a reason. You know, and I said this on Saturday in our group, you know, you trials and tribulations aren't meant to hurt you. They're here to teach you. And to help you to evolve into, you know, a greater level of consciousness. So we have to stop looking at things that don't necessarily always happen that we want, you know, things that may come and it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened again. Well, the sooner you learn that lesson where you are right now, the quicker you can move on to the next thing. Everything is a teaching moment.
Yeah, and I think, Lisa, when you made that point in the session, I really thought you articulated that issue very well, and I think that that's what most people forget, is that we're supposed to be in a state of learning at all times, and some things come around, we need to not say, oh, this happened to me and that happened to me. We need to stop a moment. We need to pause, the expectant pause, and say, what, like you said, what is this moment trying to teach me?
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, and we're going to – there's so many shows. I'm just so excited about all the shows we have coming up. But one of the shows we're going to be doing or is going to be about our angels, and we're going to do an angel speak show. But I just want to share something because what you said is, you know, kind of brought it to my attention as far as when we start to talk negative talk.
Yeah.
When ego speaks and you know, we get into that negative mode of not having and I'll never have and why does this always happen to me? Well, you know what that does? It actually binds your angels up from helping you.
And
angels cannot come to our rescue or to help and aid us in any way if we are, because we're binding them and we don't even realize we're binding them. So when you are speaking like that, what you're doing is, and that's why I say, always say you have to be careful of the words that come out of your mouth because they have power. And whatever you're believing in your heart that, and you speak that, then that's what you're bringing to you. So if you're speaking positive words and you want positive things to come your way, your angels can help you with that. But once you bring that negative thing and I can't do or it won't happen for me, well, guess what? They stop it in mid-flight. Skirt! Well, wait a minute. Because you are actually in charge of them. They're not in charge of you. You tell them what you want and how you want them to help you. But they can't help in the negative realm. They just can't help that way. So we're going to really do a big show on angel speak and how to activate your angels and how to make your, you know, make your angels work on your behalf. But remember the song I played on Saturday, Teresa? And this goes, one of the verses is, I won't harm you with words from my mouth. Well, that's, you know, when we say that, it's not just harming each other, but it also goes into the other realm. So when we say stuff like that, you know, we're stopping them from coming to our aid. You know, but when you're asking them to help you with a certain thing, then you're activating them. But when you start that negative talk, which is false evidence appearing real, you know, then you're stopping that fear. It just blocks. So we have to learn how to stop blocking our blessings, blocking things that are already ours, you know, from coming to us in the first place.
Yes, and I wanted to take a moment, too, to do a shout-out to Cheryl Lynn White because she did a nice job for us. She gave each one of us a little angel. Just to be mindful of our angels in a thing of frankincense and myrrh. And I just thought it was such a lovely, sweet gift. And it's always in remembrance, along with the faith affirmation, to release our angels so that we do use them. And like you said, and so that we welcome them. And, you know, I know most of the Holy Books, especially the Bible, is replete with examples of angels visiting. really need to be able to use them. And everything you said is so true in terms of, you know, what it is that they, they're here to do, which is to help us.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I love that. I love that. And, yes, a big shout-out to Cheryl. Thank you for sharing that with us, and thank you for our angels. I'm looking at mine right now, and I just appreciate you so much. Well, you know, that brings us down to this portion of I Will Leave You With This. When the compulsive striving away from the now ceases, and I mentioned this last week, the joy of being flows into everything you do. The moment your attention turns to the now, you feel a presence, a stillness, a peace. You no longer depend on the future for fulfillment and satisfaction. You don't look to it for salvation. Therefore, you are not attached to the results. Neither failure nor success has the power to change your inner state of being. You have found the life underneath your life situation. Is it wrong, then, to be proud of one's possessions or to feel resentful toward people who have more than you? Not at all. Eckhart Tolle states, that sense of pride or needing to stand out, the apparent enhancement of one's self through more than and diminishment through less than is neither right nor wrong. It is the ego. The ego isn't wrong. It's just unconscious. When you observe the ego in yourself, you are beginning to go beyond it. Don't take the ego too seriously. When you detect ego or egoic behavior in yourself, just smile. At times, like I did, you may even laugh. How could humanity have been taken in by this for so long? Above all, know that the ego isn't personal. It isn't who you are. If you consider the ego to be your personal problem, guess what? That's just more ego. So that concludes the show for this evening. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. A shout out to my family who are always loving and supporting me, and also to my friends and family on Facebook for listening in. Once again, Teresa, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. For knowledge is power. And what, Teresa? When we know better?
We do better.
And also, don't forget to stop by my website, yourdestinyawaits.net, to get some extra motivation and inspiration. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/adatewithdestiny101. And follow us on Twitter at LYSE101. And I also want you to stop by our Making It Happen website at mihgroup.org. That's mihgroup.org. We will be back on Monday, June 24th at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, where we will delve into the topic of abundance. Teresa, that's going to be a powerful show right there. And learning how to draw it to us. How do we draw our abundance to us? So please tune in next week for that show. I guarantee it's going to be a blessing. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is take the necessary time to do a true self-evaluation. Seek God and learn how to love yourself first. Because after all, you owe it to yourself to know yourself. Once again, I'm Lisa M. Saunders, and I thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny. Peace and abundant blessings, everyone.